All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. Izzy Gutierrez to one side, Clinton Yates to the other. What a weird basketball day. Let's go.
Lots of soccer on TV, too. That's good for us.
That, too. Yes.
Should we all be in awe of KD's greatness today or crush the Bucks for being chokers?
Hell yes, we should. Yes, the answer to all of this is yes. On yesterday's show, I came up and I said, and this is an interesting quirk about Kevin Durant's career. He didn't have that signature game. Like, we've always seen him excel, but it's never felt like we have seen him overcome. The dude put up a 49-point triple-double last night. And look at this shot. This one right here. Like, this is the one with a minute left where you're just like, oh, okay. He just decided that he was going to make this. Whop!
Ugh.
And yeah, it looks like kind of sort of another Kevin Durant shot. That was so quick. That dude, that size, stopped on a dime, nailed it. And now the Nets are up in a series where James Harden played 46 minutes. That meant that the Nets played 46 minutes at 4-on-5 because I have no idea what purpose he served on the floor at all because he could not get into the paint. The Bucks, they got that big giant lead and then they completely forgot about some basic things about life and physics and everything else. You've got big guys. If you have big guys, take your big guys and get closer to the basket and get some buckets. Mike Budenholzer has to do something to make things easier because Giannis is a limited offensive player in ways. We know this. You got to make it easier for him or make it easier for Brook Lopez because the Nets actually don't have anybody who can guard him either. And after that game, I only had one question. How'd they let Budenholzer on the flight? I'm just saying, there's a whole lot of coaches that got fired today, and Mike Budenholzer still got a job. I don't give a damn if they got a game tomorrow night or not. There's no reason in the world he should still be playing for them. Hey, coach, how does he work there still?
I'm convinced that there was some sort of little error in the matrix in the NBA section starting last night because so many things have happened that are weird. I went to sleep and the NBA was relatively healthy and I woke up and Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard might not play. We'll get to that in a little bit. But during the game, here's when I knew things were a little bit crazy. Jeff Green going off. Like, Jeff Green has a career of not really showing up when you need him to. And here he was, almost perfect for his boy KD. You've got James Harden, who went from out to doubtful to almost every minute. And I've never seen a guy protect a hamstring so much, but it's clearly what he was doing, right? He had the KT tape. He wasn't exploding going to the rim, just being out there to be a threat. KD gave him about 5 minutes of, hey, your turn. All right, the rest of the game's gonna be me. And then, Mike Budenholzer, I don't really get why you have an NBA, all-NBA defensive player named Giannis Antetokounmpo, two-time MVP, and don't throw him on the guy that's killing you. I understand PJ Tucker did a decent job on him, but you got to mix the coverages up. If for nothing else, just out of pride, put him out there and say, hey, guard this guy. Because on the other end, he was so confusing as well, Giannis was. He only has the one move where he's going into the lane. He either goes left or right, and they're just kind of guessing, almost like a PK in soccer. They're either going to get the charge or they're going to let him go. And then he's taking a fadeaway against James Harden. He's bailing other defenders out. This, as impressive as KD was, and he was absolutely amazing, I'm with Charles Barkley, and the Bucks might be the dumbest team in the league and do just some of the dumbest things because they had that game. They absolutely should have been able to keep a double-figure lead within that game, and they let KD have the game of his playoff career. So I love KD. He's amazing. I am not taking anything away from what he did, but the Bucks played horribly.
First of all, Israel, there will be no slander of Prince George's County great Jeff Green, a.k.a. Uncle Jeff, Hoya as well. We love him in these parts. But look, the reason why I love this so much is because KD answered basically not just sort of opponents, but yeah, NBA Twitter, pay attention. You have nothing to say anymore. My favorite part about this whole game was that he played every single minute. Never mind that he fell it up. My man was out there, which coming off that injury is not only incredibly impressive from a physical standpoint, it just shows. We can talk about this more later in the show. When it comes to getting healthy, that's a priority. He waited as long as he could in order to get to where he was at in terms of the longer scale of his rehabilitation, and the efforts and the, you know, the results have shown. This is a huge game for him. And yeah, get on the bird. Talk your talk, because it obviously motivates you, and it worked out last night. As for the Bucks, I think we're obviously at the point where not only do we say that this team is not that good, but Giannis as a star in this league, his talent level is just not as high as a lot of people want to believe it should be. We're not talking about a young kid in the league anymore. He should have way more of an offensive repertoire. The fact that his coach doesn't hold him confident in terms of guarding their best guy as the guy with that many awards is a fundamental problem from a skill set level. This guy has to improve in the offseason for this team to get better. It's as simple as that. I don't think it's necessarily about every other piece that's around.
Now, I will say this, though. There's a difference between a talent issue and a skill issue. We're not talking about a talent issue with Giannis. What we're talking about is a skill issue, and it's a skill issue that plagues the league. So many of these dudes are big and cannot do big things. It's not just him. So this game is going to swing back at a point because people are going to realize there's not a value in being 6'11 if you can't put your back on somebody, right? The ability to do those things from the top of the key is cool, but then in the postseason, Nate Jones makes this point on Twitter. People ain't stepping in front of him in the regular season and taking those charges. They'll do right. that now. It's worth the squeeze now. It wasn't worth the squeeze then. And so I think he's at a place very similar to where Dirk Nowitzki was after the 2007 season, where you have to realize how to use being big, because otherwise with Dirk, you could guard him with Al Harrington. You could guard him with Steven Jackson. What's happening now with the Bucks? You can guard Giannis with literally no one, because when Blake Griffin guards him, all he's doing is moving back and ready for you to hit him in the chest.
What's your reaction to Chris Paul and health and safety protocol and Kawhi Leonard being out indefinitely?
Yeah, all the postseason bad news greeted us this morning. We found out that Chris Paul is indefinitely in the health and safety protocols. Now, the thing with Chris Paul is this gets to be tricky to talk about because we don't know if the dude's been vaccinated or not. And people's opinions on what it means for him to have it are affected, A, by the fact that he's vaccinated or not, and B, how you feel about the idea of vaccination in the first place, right? Like, so on that one, if you're the Suns, you just hope that this one series goes seven games. You want everything to go as long as it possibly can so you can get Chris Paul back, hopefully while missing as few games as possible. With Kawhi Leonard, Shams Charania of The Athletic is reporting that the Clippers fear that it is an ACL injury. He is out indefinitely. This is a guy who, honestly, even with that 2019 run, hasn't been the same since 2017. He's got a knee that seems to require a great deal of energy just to keep him going. Remember, in the rise of load management, the Clippers are making it clear they were maintaining his knee, as in this thing is bad and we have to do what is necessary to make sure he can get through the entire season. And it seems like we're adding another injury on top of that. That is absolutely terrible news for literally everybody but the Utah Jazz.
While the two matters are separate, the difference is the same to fans in terms of two of the biggest stars in the game being out. Now, as for Chris Paul, let's not forget global pandemic, public health. His particular situation is one thing, but we've got fans in stands. These players are interacting with all sorts of people. This is relatively troubling on a large scale for me, for guys to be popping up and having to go in the protocol this late in the NBA season. As for Kawhi, I mean, I feel bad for this guy, man. People talk about how Grant Hill got his career curtailed because of various injuries and so forth. I think Kawhi is now getting into that range where even with so many trophies, we sort of feel like we're never seeing the fullest of him from a competition standpoint. And I think largely this points to this rush schedule back, man. A lot of guys getting hurt, a lot of guys getting soft tissue injuries. This is going to need to be a longer offseason by rule, in my opinion, for the NBA, simply to take care of the health of your players. I don't think that that's that bad of an admission at this point, considering what we're looking at in the playoffs.
Yeah, the NBA is just walking across this really rickety bridge, and it's collapsing underneath them. It seems like the healthiest team is going to win it all, and right now, I'm thinking that's the Bucks with Dante DiVincenzo, right? Because everybody else has either significant injuries or like Joel Embiid, you're just kind of walking on eggshells here. And it's depressing, frankly, because we talked about last season being sort of an anomaly season, obviously, because of the bubble. But we're going to look back and say, hey, this season was not a complete postseason because all of these players left and right. With Chris Paul, it's a matter of luck, you would seem. There's definitely a luck element involved there. And that's just got to be terrible for him. The one guy who you had the shoulder scare and then, you know, he recovers from it seemingly and seems like he's going to coast down probably one of his best postseasons, and now all of a sudden you have no idea what's happening here. With Kawhi Leonard, man, I mean, it's devastating news if you're the Clippers. It seemed like they had come back and had momentum and were probably favored in that series, but now everything's in question. You know, you wonder going forward, well, with Kawhi, with this injury, is he likely just going to stay with the Clippers, re-sign? I'm sure they'll re-sign him even if it is an ACL injury, and they kind of move on from there and continue to try this down the road. But given his history with that knee, you have no idea what he's going going to come back like? And this just has to be absolutely devastating for a team that we talked about being jinxed in the past, or there being a curse. I mean, this just feeds into that narrative.
Hey, Izzy, also, the healthiest team would probably be the Hawks, and I'm here to tell you something. If the Hawks win the NBA championship because they are the healthiest team, the NBA and its fans are just going to act like it didn't count. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if they ain't got no respect for the 94 Rockets, they definitely ain't about to be out here respecting Trae Young and the insurance fraud All-Stars.
Up next on HQ.
Like, I don't have the answers to this, but I also don't think that Major League Baseball is wrong. This happens in every sport. When the pendulum swings too far in one direction or another, then it becomes time to either change a rule or enforce a rule in order to bring it back. That's where we are right now, and that's the thing that baseball thinks that they can fix. Now, is this going to be a rash of arm injuries? I think we'll find out ultimately if Glasnow really has a point, because he won't be the only one having this problem.
Should Tyler Glasnow's comments about his injury make MLB rethink their policy on sticky stuff?
All right, Tyler Glasnow pitches for the Tampa Bay Rays. He throws gas, got a 100-mile-an-hour heater. Now, he has a partially torn UCL. For those who are not kinesiologists or whatever, that's the Tommy John ligament. Not saying he needs the surgery, but it's the same ligament. And he says, or he thinks, part of why this happened is baseball won't let him put stuff on the ball anymore. He doesn't think it's a coincidence. Check it out.
I think, like, it's ridiculous. I have used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that, like, it seems like this whole public perception of, like, oh, just, like, select few people. Like, your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something, too. Like, if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like, you have to use something. So, in the past, my substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like, just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. But two starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. I did well against the Nationals, probably one of the best starts I had all year. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles in. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season, everything out of the window. I have to start doing something completely new. And then I'm telling you, I truly believe that's why I got hurt.
Now, I mean, it's an interesting hypothesis that I'm not really in a position to challenge. Now, the argument being, I may have been cheating before, and now you told me how to stop, and that throws my whole world out of orbit. That's not really that convincing, but you're allowed to put rosin on the ball. Sunscreen is something that could reasonably wind up on the ball because it could reasonably wind up being on your face. Like, I don't have the answers to this, but I also don't think that Major League Baseball is wrong. This happens in every sport. When the pendulum swings too far in one direction or another, then it becomes time to either change a rule or enforce a rule in order to bring it back. That's where we are right now, and that's the thing that baseball thinks that they can fix. Now, is this going to be a rash of arm injuries? I think we'll find out ultimately if Glasnow really has a point, because he won't be the only one having this problem.
Can I just say, for a solid 2 months, I thought his name was Tyler Glass, because every time I heard his name, it was Tyler Glass now pitching, and I just thought, oh, okay, now he's pitching. He also seems to be a really good interview, because it's just, the way we flashed to it, it seemed like he'd been talking forever. Look, I'm with you, Bo, in the idea of, hey, let's not cheat, right? But the idea in the middle of the season, when baseball has been allowing this, you know, since great-grandfathers have played, like, it's an adjustment. And I understand, because it's been happening for so long, why stop in the middle of the season and say, hey, now we're going to enforce this? They probably didn't think through something like this injury situation that could have happened. And I absolutely believe Tyler Glass. Now, these guys know their bodies and their arms specifically more than anybody else. But to say that, hey, to complain about it, to say, hey, this is definitely why I got hurt, they shouldn't do it. He probably shouldn't be that loud about this, but this is 100% a baseball problem. They allowed it forever. Then you have to differentiate between these two things. Are the umpires supposed to go up and, like, smell and see if it smells like sunscreen or something else? It's kind of ridiculous to put them in charge of it as well. So I think you're right, Bo. They do make these changes, but they normally make these changes in the offseason, not right in the middle of it.
Other great things about Tyler Glasnow, I mean, tremendous head of hair on that guy, as an aside. But the larger issue here is one that ultimately is going to come down to what the collective bargaining agreement says. This is a major factor. You got guys talking about how they think that Major League Baseball is doctoring the ball to prevent certain free agents from being able to be as marketable on the free agent market. You've also got people like Glasnow talking about injuries. And then you've got a sort of different subset that doesn't feel that this is wrong. You know, like putting sticky stuff on the ball is not really that big a deal to a lot of baseball fans. And if ultimately what the Major League Baseball Commissioner's Office is banking on is that people are going to take their side on the premise that anything happening on the field is unacceptable and therefore we have to pick a random time to enforce it, I think that's a battle they'll lose in terms of the court of public opinion. People know this. People don't really care. And that is kind of scary to think about, if that not only do people in the game think that Major League Baseball is being negligent, but also potentially sort of conspiring against its own labor force. Bro, this is not going to be good in the offseason. And Glasnow is just another example of why this is so silly in terms of enforcement on a larger level.
You make a good point, though, because it is a big deal given that there is a labor situation on the horizon, a CBA to be renegotiated. So everything there is a battle. But the biggest problem to me that baseball has is it's impossible to enforce this kind of doctrine of the ball. You can catch somebody scuffing a baseball, right? Like when you go back and see the guys who have gotten caught scuffing, we can give you a video. It might be Joe Niekro pulling that Emery board out his back pocket or Kevin Gross going up and down on his glove, but you can see the doctrine. You can't see it with the stuff that we're talking about. So all they could do is be like, we about to start doing stop and frisk. We're going to be throwing people up against the wall every other inning. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it might happen to you. They had to put that out because they have no other way to go about fixing what they're saying is a problem right now. And it's turned into an embarrassment for everybody.
Do you question if Haiti's loss falls entirely on the goalkeeper?
Look, man, I'm going to root for Haiti pretty much in any international competition you have because they're invariably playing against a country that has conspired against it for about 200 years. Look it up! Anyway, they were losing to Canada. The final score in this was 3-0. It's happened over here, but 4-0 on aggregate. That's an own goal, guys. That's an own goal.
It's an own goal.
Yeah.
This is more than an own goal. This is a three mistake own goal. Look at this. Error one.
Oh,
error two. Error three. If you know your keeper does not have foot skills like that, don't play him the damn ball on the ground, okay? Shouts to my best friend, Reggie, who's Haitian. Roanoke College Soccer Hall of Famer. All right, I played many years with him, and he taught me never, ever, ever give it to the worst dude in the worst position.
Hold on. Foot skills like what? Because I could be wrong, but I feel like I could have, if nothing else, stood in front of it.
I'll tell you. So, like, you remember that goal that happened in the Euros where homeboy banged it from deep because the keeper was way up and off his line? That's a situation where typically you'll play it to the goalie, to his feet, as a support for the defenseman. In this case, that wasn't even required remotely. Why are you even playing it to him is what I'm saying. That was stupid on a lot of levels. Never mind the botch that happened in the goal battle.
You had three chances there. I am questioning, though, because you brought it up, Clinton. Which one is worse? Like, for life having this little short video of you just like letting that ball go in, or the keeper from the goal you're talking about who got caught in the net and looks like he's like, I don't know, a little bit of prepackaged produce.
This is 100% worse. The other one actually required a strike from an opponent that was glorious, okay? This did not.
Continuing today at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, Euro 2020.
All right, so Germany's head coach, Joachim Löw, he's a bit of a highly questionable Hall of Famer. Here are some of his greatest hits. Like, this is how he gets on. He does stuff like this. Yeah. That's what he does.
I love the dance remix.
This is what he's about. You notice he always does it with his offhand, though, because his watch is on the same arm. Anyway, he seems to have done some more of that type of stuff in the Euro this year. There he is, but we don't know how it started this time.
Where was that hand?
And I tell you this though, while we don't know where it started, the director knew where it started, and that's why he went over there because he knew what that man was about, and he knew what everybody else would know when he had his finger up under his nose. We would know what would have happened before then. It would have smelled real sebaceous. I believe that's the technical term. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Look, man, this is a condition. Like, this needs to be addressed. Like, I was excited about France, Germany, and then I saw him, and I was like, man, the camera's going to cut to him at the wrong time. It's like right after Mbappe does something amazing, and they're going to be a very disappointed German coach just... Like, there's something wrong there. You have to address it. You can't just keep doing it. I guess he's gone, right? This is his swan song. He's, like, no longer going to be German national coach. Great, because that... It makes me cringe. It's that uncomfortable. It's the worst possible thing you could do as a coach, I think. I think that's
also,
fair to
if
say.
We just track the specific highlights we showed, that was an awfully inquisitive sniff versus the others, which were seemingly more cursory and kind of
too much
savage, if you will. He really wanted to get the notes and the tones that were in the glass, if you will. But see on nose, I'll take nose.
Okay. Oh wow! Yeah, I was willing to let that slide and act like it didn't happen. I had a much better line that just became totally useless. Like, if you're just gonna be bad and move on. We ain't gonna just lay in it. All right, that is our show. Check out Izzy Gutierrez courtside somewhere near you. Clinton Yates, check him out at theundefeated.com.
In the right time, wherever you get your podcast, did I point the right way?
Yeah, I was just like, damn, somebody.
I'm going to Omaha this weekend.
I don't care. Give me that you don't care about the right time. I don't give a damn if you stay.